Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, and I'm your host today for this segment of Owning Your Health, where we explore alternative ways to be more consciously aware of truly owning what it takes to take care of your body at work with today's health thought leaders. And our topic today is how to protect your energy for performance in crisis. So our leading lady today is Katie Kay of Spirit Plays, and she's been with us before, and I decided to ask her back because we are talking about crisis. Oh, my goodness, and she's perfect for that. Katie broke out of the legal corporate world and now coaches unsuspecting spiritual beings in the desperate art of being human. And with her 30 years of practice in astrology, tarot, prayer counseling, mothering, yes, staff management, working with lawyers and executives, she now gives personal and relationship exercises to those living and playing on the planet. That's us. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi, Eva. Thanks a lot. I love being introduced as, and now for the crisis, Katie Kay. I'm good about that.
We are.
Yeah, as a staff manager, I actually said, I love crisis. And people would come to my office and they'd be arguing together and everything. I'd go, oh boy, a problem. Yay. So I'm glad to be here, Eva. Thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. I have been one of the many humans on the planet like you, and I'm seeing evidence of flared tempers and confusion and a hurt paycheck. You know, our wallets are being affected right now, and all of that's bound to cause confusion and conflict. And I love the combination that you bring to the table of saying, hey, it may not just be me, thank you for the out.
Maybe it has
to do with some astrological bodies, what's going on around us that we need to be aware of and how to mitigate that. So I want to have a fantastic conversation, no pressure, around that.
Okay. Well, I have been, since that's my forte, you know, I work with clients, and instead of questionnaires, when I coach, I look at their astrology chart, their natal chart. And what has been happening that mirrors this pandemic are three very strong planets all hanging out in the same place in the sky. Now, I believe astrology is just like any other season, and that's what seasons are. So Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter all hanging out in Capricorn mirror very distinctly the energies that we feel with this pandemic change. So that as I work with clients, or how I like to talk when I do my talks, there's really easy ways to use the same energy for our benefit, because it's all a balance. It's all a braiding. And so, for instance, you know, crisis, as it's well known, it's an opportunity. You know, living in interesting times is an opportunity. So those are the kind of things that I deal with regularly, and that's why I'm here.
Well, I want to back up and talk about what that means to have Saturn, Pluto, and what's the other one?
Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter.
Jupiter sitting out in Capricorn. What does that mean?
Okay. All right. Well, Pluto is in charge of very slow transformation and changes. It's a Scorpio planet. Okay. It's very, very slow. It's only going to get, you know, very, very far in your lifetime. Then Saturn is in charge of limits, but it's also in charge of skin and bones, structures, and keeping things in their own place. And then Jupiter says, well, let's get bigger. Let's get out of the box. Let's break out the envelope. Let's try something different. Let's learn something. Let's travel. So the three of these together is like new borders, new limits, breaking out of old borders, old limits, and deep transformational change. So education is thrown, where we do education is thrown out of the box. But there's an opportunity to be closer to your kids and recognize what's being taught. You know, we're isolated. That's a brand new limit. But then we are talking with our family differently. We're learning through online connections. And then the transformation is just, Pluto is also in charge of viruses and diseases and death. And there's a lot of that transformation happening. The spiritual system does not necessarily believe in death the way the human system does. But the spiritual system believes in constant change. So those three together, you can see, are very illustrative and mirror what's going on throughout the globe. There you go.
That's very apropos, like what how you described that and how you applied that to our structures that are in place and kind of shaking up our whole construct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know, how common is this type of alignment, these three together in Capricorn?
Well, I am always up for fact checkers, but I don't believe that these three planets have been in Capricorn for 4,000 years. Now, planets move all the time. So there's lots of times like the SARS, the other epidemics, the 1800s, the Black Plague, for instance. There was lots of different conjunctions and aspects that can mirror these things happening on the globe. These are mirrored events. They're not causal, you know, in my opinion, because everybody individually has a completely different viewpoint of this. I have a different viewpoint. I've been working at home for a while than somebody who goes out, brings the kids to school, goes to an office, drives an hour to and from, comes home and has to do this, that, and the other thing. So we all see these things differently, too.
That's a really good point.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah. It does, yes.
Good,
it does,
good.
A short, yeah. And then the second part of the previous question is like, okay, this alignment in Capricorn, how often is that? But we got that. And then the Capricorn, how does that apply to these three? Yeah, so these three bodies sitting in Capricorn, yeah, how does that flavor this whole event?
Well, that's what's interesting because Capricorn is Saturn's home planet. So the idea, Capricorn is in charge of building. It's in charge of building and organizations and corporations and governments and rules. Oh, wow. They're changing. And you know, so Saturn itself's going, yeah, that's a lot of good rules here. We're going to have new rules. Oh, yeah. You know, that organization, yeah, that built up pretty good. Let's rebuild it. Let's not build it. Let's take down that wall. And so one thing I have to say as a plus, though, is I'm really glad Jupiter is here because Jupiter is a very optimistic, positive planet. It's a Sag. It's like, oh, tomorrow's another day. It'll all work out, you know, so that there I try to, you know, focus for my clients on hey, wow, you're doing more writing. Wow, you're taking all these nature walks with your kids for homeschooling. You know, that kind of stuff. So there, and we are now focusing in a different way. We're look at the environment. All of a sudden, it looks happier. There's animals coming around in people's neighborhoods because they're going, well, where is everybody? Let's walk. So there's all sorts of changes, both in the optimistic and the wow, that's closing down way.
You touched on
about that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you touched on that very point with boundaries and borders, and I'm thinking about the previous comment you just said about how, yes, you and I both, we work from home. We're used to creating our own boundaries around this place in my home is for work, I only do work in it, and then easily transitioning to, oh, I'm now done with work, but I'm still at home. Most people who go to a workplace do not have that physical construct. It's become ambiguous. So let's talk a little bit about managing that, because I feel like, and maybe you've seen it too, what are your observations around people having to adjust to this work at home?
Well, it's been interesting because there's also the people who have lost their jobs. And besides not working at home, they don't have the focus of things to do. So going to the people who are working at home, for instance, I've seen my son, who is an entertainment worker and is not working at this time, having to set up a certain school area for his daughter. And so that kind of, that's a good use of border making. So that is one of the suggestions. Find a corner, put up a card table, an end table. That's your work. But it's also communicating that with the other people in the house. Okay, I don't have a family living with me, but I have a roommate. But I have my room. My bedroom is also my office. But she does not have a job, and so she has a craft area, and she's doing her crafts. So the respect for those areas has helped us pay attention and focus. But there is also the idea that it has to be communicated to the other people, as well as communicated within ourselves. This is my space. I have to honor this space. Now I'm going to go to the deck. Now I'm going to the backyard. Now I'm taking a walk. So those are limits and routines that Saturn likes. So using Saturn for those timing things is just an excellent idea, I think.
I like that idea because routines are something that give us some sense of, would you say, grounding or a sense of normalcy?
Yeah, and they're very comforting. They're very comforting. That's why people go to work and they check in and they have certain timing and they go on classes and the kids have school. The timing is a comfortable thing. That's the good part of the Saturn energy. Yeah.
Curious about, because I'm hearing you, I have my own history of astrology, but not nearly as in an educated way as you. What is the type of astrology that allows you to give these specific meanings to the different planets and there are certain locations? Like, what is this system of astrology called that you work with?
Well, it would be called Western astrology. It's not Vedic. Vedic works with the moon in a square orientation, and I work with a round chart. I have Prophory, I think is how you say it, house structures. And those words would mean more to people who are a little bit more learned in astrology. My description of the planets and the use that I do very much of aspects, conjunctions, and squares, etc., I use them an awful lot in my personal coaching because I see so much information in that. That has come through actually working with thousands and thousands of people and hearing and resonating with them. How does this sound? Does this make sense? Because I read so that the energies do fall down to the elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and the modes, cardinal, which is outgoing mode, Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, they're outgoing energies. Fixed is fixed. Scorpio, Leo, you know those guys, Taurus, they're pretty fixed. And then mutable is Gemini and Sag and Pisces. So all of the planets and the zodiac and the houses have some of those elements on an alignment basis. So, you know, learned from so many different astrologers and information. So it's sort of a gestalt all my own, but that's some information of my style.
Well, it seems to work, though, just by having this conversation and revealing about the different the planetary bodies that are right now in this the state of every 4,000 years or possibly not since 4,000 years before. That's crazy. And how it applies so perfectly by description to what we have going on, that gives it some validity, even if it's not traditional science-based, you know, stuff. But
I just want to say science came out at the very beginning with observation. That's how science started, is by observing and then experimenting, So people have been observing the skies for a long time. The other thing, actually, I forget to mention is that I work with the transits. In other words, where they were when you were born is a whole lot of information of what I say is what you decided to do in this life. It's your dance chart. And there's a million ways to use it. Free will has nothing to do with, you can do it any way you want, but that there also are the indication of where the planets are now. So how they align with each other is also important. So there's a lot of information there, but I do see it and talk about it in a spiritual way. In other words, we are more than just human. We have more than just our body. And that is something I think is coming up towards the crisis that we feel being either isolated or now, as we go forward, going to be moving out of isolation. There's going to be more excitement's probably not the right word, but there certainly is going to be more anxiety, excitement, different things going on.
Well, I'm observing this in our conversation in that there are things that we're trying to do to become comfortable again because the way that we used to do them are no longer available to us, at least not in the same way. And a new normal, well, we don't even know what that looks like yet. And that seems to be very unconcerting to a lot of people. They're not used to having things change on them quite so frequently. So I would imagine, and I think this could be fun to ferret out, there are things that we can put in place that start and end with us and our control, those routines that we talked about. What can we look for as signs of overstress? Overwhelm is an overused word, but that's the idea. How does that show up in our world for the different signs elementally, and what can be good to mitigate them that we can add to our routines?
Good question. Well, without even knowing, you know, all the birth signs and your moon sign and all that, most people, I believe, can tell if they're by their element. Are they fiery? Are they active? Are they kinetic? Do they need that exercise? Or are they sedentary? They can binge watch forever. I can't do that. I'm moving, you know. And there's other people who have a lot of ability to talk and to sing and to write and express. And then other people who are much more sensitive, emotional, empathic. Those follow the fire, air, earth, and water. Okay? So, for instance, I would say if you're an energetic person and it drives you crazy sitting around and you've been isolated and feel that anxiety, my suggestion is you need fresh air. If you're fiery, you need some air. So maybe going out early in the morning when people aren't around to feel more comfortable and get more space. Having the windows open. Making sure that you speak about where you want to go or what you want to do. Go get some air circulating. If you sit an awful lot and you find that you're sitting so much you're getting stuck, then, you know, feeling the feelings and getting the flow going more often. Games are good for earth people. A lot of gaming. I played Yahtzee with my 6-year-old granddaughter. It didn't work that well, but it did get a few more minutes for all of us in a new routine. But she's adding and subtracting, so that worked out. And then also people who are emotional and are missing the hugs, for instance, I have recommended to clients, get your teddy bear out, get a pillow out, you know, try to go. And if you're crying, cry it out. Let the water work for you. So trying to feel what element is getting stuck, and then going across to a different element. Fire and air need each other. Water and earth are aligned with each other. But there can be a number of different ways that can work out. But that's something to just even consider. A lot of office workers are used to conversation, social ability, movement, activity, and if they're stuck, you know, it's different to get used to Zoom Or maybe it's the same. Maybe a lot of office workers working from home are over-zoomed, so to speak.
Over-zoomed, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to have a lot more words on that. And need real quiet time. And real quiet time means not with the TV. Real quiet time, just sitting, listening to the birds or going out in nature. Those are some ideas that I've worked with some people that seems to help.
Yeah, that can help with especially the physical transition between I'm at work and I'm getting in my car and I usually spend a half hour to here in LA, 2 hours to get home. So what do I use instead to deflate or decompress from my day? Yeah, and these could be the sense of awarenesses about how we are, like, we don't have to necessarily identify with a specific element, just know how we are needing to compensate for whatever this overused, the word I want to use, the sensation that we receive in, like it's overstimulated, you know.
Exactly.
Can be mitigated, so that's good.
And
I
a
like
lot
that.
Of the stuff that I'm sure you've told your listeners here is just really being aware of the body. You know, lately, my body goes, no, you need another nap. I go, no, I don't need a nap. Yes, you do. And just allowing the body to go, okay, I'm able to. I don't have deadlines like this very minute. Or I also look and say, listen, I need to give my body some space. I'm going to have to move these appointments. But those kind, the awareness and the graciousness to say, my mind, I cannot do another Zoom. Can't do another Zoom. My mind is overdone. Or I need to get out and walk. You know, I've boosted my qigong, my internal movements, my breathing here. So it's also the awareness of the body and just appreciating it. Honoring the feelings, too. A lot of people, I have to shut my door and cry and yell and cuss and keep away from my roommate because it's not about what's going on there. It's about some feelings about what's going on outside in the world.
So crisis really is an opportunity right now.
It does sound trite. And it's, you know, another thing I just want to say is fear is based on trying to protect us. And, you know, if people are feeling the fear of getting COVID, of you got to have the mask, you can't have the mask, you don't need the mask, I got to start my business, I need more money, wherever their walls are, walls of belief are understandably creating fear, I suggest being loose with those walls, trying to get on the other side of that walls, but honoring the fear. Yes, I am afraid of getting sick. Yes, I am afraid of dying. If you look that in the eye, then that fear goes, oh, yeah, okay, so we'll do the best we can. Yeah, we'll do the best we can. We'll take a choice. Okay. But the whole idea is not nourishing the fear so that it, you know, you go outside and you scream at people or you're upset or you're at home trembling. It's just saying, yes, I am a little afraid of this. Okay. And that's an old spiritual lesson I won't charge you more for. That's a freebie.
Well, I think that was you always make me laugh. So I really want to convey that. It's like what I want to ask a few questions. I know personally, but our listeners, I want to make sure that they kind of get an idea for who you are, you know, and what got you into your interest of astrology. And tell us more about your background with it.
Yeah, well, I 30 years in legal corporate, and in the background, somebody gave me a tarot reading, and she was so right on. I was fascinated, studied tarot, then studied astrology. I'm a certified astrologer. I took an 8-hour test. I'm a certified life coach. I took courses in that, and I've also been trained as a prayer counselor. So I've just been fascinated since I was a kid about the metaphysical world. So this all fell together, and when I decided that the legal corporate world didn't feed me, nourish me quite as much as it used to, I'm on my own. So I call myself a spiritual life coach. Spirit Plays is the name of my business. And I just really am very, very grateful that I can do this because I resonate each time I speak to a client about what's going on with them. And that, in my opinion, is the definition of bliss. You're doing what you love to do, it happens well, and other people are served, bingo. So that's a little bit about me.
I love that. And as people have been listening and they want to reach out to you, what is the best way to interact with you?
The best way to contact me is to send an email to spiritplays@gmail.com. That's spiritplays@gmail.com. And I will respond. I do a lot over phone or Zoom with my clients. Doesn't have to be in person, especially these days. But on then all I need is a birth date, and that is the extent of the questionnaire. So we work it out from there. It's just a blast for me, and I'd love to hear from Oliver and any of the listeners.
And are you offering any, is there a special that you're offering to those who are listening?
Funny you should ask, Eva. Yes, special.
Very good.
I do. Thank you very much. Yes, funny you should. Yes, I am offering a half-hour free session, which is $65 worth. A half-hour free session with a flyby astrology viewpoint, which will actually bring out a couple points of where my coaching would go. You know, and right now when people are moving out of the house, starting that new normal, I'd love to help people re-energize their natural gifts for that new normal. So give me an email, and we'll work together.
Beautiful. I'm going to repeat that. So it's a 30-minute free session valued at $65. Astro coaching. You can reach out to Katie at spiritplays, S-P-I-R-I-T-P-L-A-Y-S, at gmail.com, and go from there. That's beautiful. And are there any upcoming events that you would like to share where people can interact with you as well?
Another good question, Eva, because, Eva, you and I both know, one of the first things is Eva and I are co-producing what we call the first virtual Dream Fair. It's next weekend, Saturday the 16th of May, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We can, if you contact me or probably Eva during this radio station or how, through it, we can send you information about that. It's free to participants with some other offers within the day. I'm also at the end of a month going to be reading tarot as a vendor for the Northwest Astrology Conference. It's called norwac.org, norwac.org. It's a brilliant, beautiful who's who of astrology from the Pacific Northwest people, and now includes people that are well-known throughout the world. It's the first time they've done it virtually, so I'd love to have you join. I read tarot because they're all such incredible international astrologers. I didn't want to compete. So those are two events. It'd be great to hear that some of the listeners have joined one of those events.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, when you're doing tarot card reading, what are some of the very common questions that you receive from people these days?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I read tarot and I don't ask for the question. I read tarot and let the, usually the nine times out of, almost 100 times, everybody goes, oh my God, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, and then if there's more clarification needed, we put all the question together. But it is a mirror of deeper insights to the day in the moment. It's like a selfie. It's like a spiritual selfie. So I read without knowing the question, and that's one of my fun, is watch people's eyes break up and go, oh my God, I was just thinking that. So
yeah, that's fun too. I'll just share this, is at the, when we used to be able to congregate in person, at the end of the Connect Women of the Influence meetings, I would sit, rather than getting up and mingling with everybody, I would sit with my tarot cards and just kind of shuffle them, and slowly but surely, one at a time, people would just sit down and they'd want a quick reading. And I love that. I love that moment of how did you know, that look on their face. It's just a very, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And the insights that someone can use to achieve their next step, what's next in life, and then feel confident that they received the information that resonates, that they have that knowing. Yep, that's exactly what I needed to hear. So it's beautiful work. I want to say, we're getting close to the end of our time together. I want to say, any last thoughts that you'd like to share about the fact that we are opening up. Tomorrow is our first day of open at parks, and we're going to get our beaches mm-hmm. back, I believe. So mm-hmm. what are some last thoughts around that we can use going forward?
Well, you know, use Saturn. Distinguish the differences, but don't take it personal. Distinguish the differences. Don't take it personal. Honor your feelings to yourself at home. You don't need to, you know, take fear too seriously. See it as a warning saying, thank you, I do have a mask, and or I don't feel like it, and I have an immune system. You know, just be okay with it. It's going to be with, have faith on the other side. You know, it doesn't need to be an ogre. It's actually trying to help us, but it gets overdeveloped and gets like, really scary. But just make friends with fear and just say, thank you for stopping by. I will be cautious. Let's go have fun.
Beautiful.
So
I love it.
There you go. Okay.
Thank you, Katie. That's the end of our show for today. I'd like to say thank you again for being our leading lady today. Yeah. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally. We are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays, 2 p.m. Pacific time. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. This is Eva Venari, founder of the Elevate Institute, reminding you to question everything.